Today we're blessed to hear this gospel that's very important to us Catholics. We hear Jesus giving Peter the keys of the kingdom. And so in our tradition, or in the history of the church, we've always seen this as Jesus giving an office to Peter and to Peter's successors. That's a real authority, his own authority to exercise on earth. And we have this down to the present day in our present successor of St. Peter, Pope Francis. So this is why we as Catholics believe that we know that we're following the teaching of Christ if we're communion with the Pope. And if we are in communion with the beliefs that the Pope is charged with protecting and defending. So I guess I've always been fascinated by this line that Jesus says to Peter. He says, "You are Peter," and the Greek name Peter means or sounds like a word very similar to rock. So it's like Jesus is saying, "You are rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it." So I think for most of my life, when I've heard this reading, and I've heard it, you've probably heard it many times, I always interpreted this to mean that evil will be very aggressive towards the good, but ultimately the good will be able to hold on. I've always read it as saying that evil is on the march, but ultimately the good will prevail. The enemy marches upon God's church, but the church will hold out and be victorious in the end. But just in the past few years, I've realized that this is not the image that Jesus gives us. He gives us the opposite image. He doesn't give us the image of our enemy on the march, but rather the church on the march. The gates of the netherworld will not prevail against the church. So in ancient and medieval times, the gates of the city were very important. Usually, medieval cities would be built with a tall wall around the city. That wall, of course, was a line of defense to protect the city. The last line of defense was the gates. So if you have an enemy that's approaching a city, what are you going to see? And I've been reading actually The Lord of the Rings. So I love those movies. I highly recommend them if you haven't seen them. You'll probably hear more about The Lord of the Rings in my homilies over the next few months. But I'm thinking of when one of those medieval cities in The Lord of the Rings, for instance, is under attack, what do we see? Well, we see a row of archers along this city wall, and so they're shooting arrows at the enemy who's advancing. Some of those enemy soldiers are actually making it up to the wall and are now climbing the wall. They're maybe throwing up an improvised ladder or something. But then there might be defenders at the top of the tower who are pushing them down or keeping them off the wall. But what's the worst thing that could happen? It's when those enemies bring their battering rod, which would be like this huge tree trunk, and now they're battering into the gates of the city. And if those gates are breached, that's really bad news, because that's basically the last line of defense that a city has. So if the gates are breached, what happens? The enemy soldiers infiltrate the city, and very soon it's overtaken. So it's so interesting that Jesus says that the gates of the netherworld will not prevail against the church. In other words, this isn't an image of the enemy on the march and the church is like this city or this tower that's trying to prevent the enemy from getting in or from battering down its gates. No, the opposite is true. The forces of evil are like this enclosed city, And the church is this battering rod that is going to batter through those gates and destroy even evil itself. So it's an image of the church on the march, an aggressive church. But we don't mean aggression like we mean when we're talking about Russia invading Ukraine or any evil force in the history of the world that's intact and invaded another country. We're talking about a different kind of invasion, and this is an invasion of goodness because it's Christ's church. So it's the goodness of Christ that the church brings in its battle against evil. It's the kingdom of Christ that the church brings. The kingdom of Christ that's marked by forgiveness and reconciliation. Usually that's not what we think of in terms of an aggressive force, but rather the force of the church is forgiveness, reconciliation, peace, nonviolence, justice, inclusion. It's a kingdom where the corporal and spiritual works of mercy are practiced. It's marked by humility and selfless love. It is none of the marks of traditional empires who go about conquering other nations less powerful from them. But yet, Christ's kingdom is so much more powerful than the powers of darkness. This is because Christ's kingdom is one of light. And what happens when a match is struck in a dark room? Well, the darkness is no match for the light. You immediately see it. The light begins to shine. This is the image that we have actually on the night of the Easter Vigil in the church, when all the lights of the church are turned off and all we see is this paschal fire. And the Easter candle is lit from that paschal fire, and then the Easter candle's brought into the church, and immediately a radiance begins to form. And then one by one, the servers light their small candles off of that Easter candle, and they pass the flame, and everybody passes the flame till the church is aglow with light. This is what Christ does when he comes into the world. He shines light in the darkness, and the darkness is so easily overcome by him. It's no effort or work for light to penetrate through darkness. So if it's true for Jesus, it's true also for the church. If we think of the life of Jesus, this is what we see constantly happening. Jesus, who we're told in Matthew's gospel, goes into Galilee of the Gentiles, into this place of darkness. It was a place of fear. In the Old Testament, Galilee is always this backwards place where people give over to idolatry and unfaithfulness to God and are addicted to sin. That's exactly where Jesus goes, to Galilee of the Gentiles. A people who dwell in darkness have seen a great light. That's one of the opening words that we hear in Matthew's gospel. So what do we see when Jesus comes into this place of darkness? People are freed from the darkness of possession. They're freed from isolation. They're freed from their addictions, from hopelessness. Sinners are inspired to change their lives. The rich begin to give generously to the poor. The gates of hell fall before Christ. So we see this so clearly in the gospel. But now Jesus is telling us in today's gospel that the light of Christ doesn't end with his death and resurrection, but it continues now in the church. And I think, I was just thinking of some beautiful examples here. I think we especially see this in the life of the saints. I can't help but think of Maximilian Kolbe, who was a Polish priest imprisoned in the German death camp of Auschwitz during World War II. Maximilian Kolbe famously volunteered to take another man's place who had been sentenced to death in the starvation bunker. And so there were 10 or so men who were all sentenced to death in the starvation bunker. And for many days, they were all there together with Father Kolbe. And that bunker, which should have been a place of misery, hopelessness, resentment, abandonment, a place that should have seemed like hell, was not. One of the prison guards, actually, who was assigned to go and check to remove any bodies of those who had died in the starvation bunker, he himself said that when he went into that bunker where Maximilian Kolbe was, he said it was like entering a church. He said that they would pray together, sing hymns together. You could hear them thanking God together. So, such a good example of what the light of Christ does, carried by Christians. This is what the church is. The gates of hell do not prevail against the goodness of God's kingdom. I was also thinking of Damien de Wooster, who's a Belgian missionary. He was sent to the island of Molokai in Hawaii, and that's where men, women, and children who had developed the symptoms of leprosy were taken to live in quarantine. And that was a death sentence. When you were taken there, even the children who were taken there, they were never to leave that island again or to see their families again. And it was a dark, hellish place when Damien arrived there. There was no infrastructure to speak of. The people would lay around and squalor in huts that didn't keep the rain out. They were living in their own filth. Many spent the day drunk in order to avoid the pain of homesickness and their own physical sufferings. Years later, Damien, who's now Saint Damien, himself died of leprosy, but the village was transformed. There were roads, there were simple homes that were built, a hospital, there were flowers and vegetables planted. He had given people work to do that gave them a sense of dignity. He helped the people to pray and to discover God, and they found joy in life and in faith. When Father Damien died, that island seemed much more like a little piece of heaven than what it should have seemed according to our worldly logic, which would have looked much more like hell. The kingdom of heaven breaks down the gates of hell, the evil, when it finds it. I think it's important for us to remember this because it's so easy to be discouraged in the world today when we see so much darkness. We have to remember that the light shines in the darkness and overcomes the darkness. We have to remember and be convicted that the light of Christ, which has been entrusted to the church, is meant to shine in these darkest of places and to bring the light of Christ there and to overthrow the dominion of the evil one. We might think of where in our own communities and families we find darkness and how we can carry the light of Christ there. It's precisely what the enemy doesn't want us to do. He wants us to think that evil is inevitable and that there's no use trying to overcome it. But that's not the message of Christ, who tells us that the gates of the netherworld will not prevail against his church. He gives us the image of this church on the march. So he wants us to be confident that when we bring his goodness and his light into the world, it achieves something. It's victorious. So let's ask the Lord today to strengthen us in our conviction that the light overcomes the darkness and to give us the faith that we need to carry the light into the world, especially into these different dark places we find in our community, in our families, in our workplaces, so confident that Jesus is the light of the world and that his light shines through us, through in the darkness, and that the darkness does not overcome it.